Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Today we wrap up our series of political debates with candidates running for U.S. Congress representing the 9th Congressional District. The district includes the southeastern portion of the state, including all of Barnstable, Dukes, and Nantucket counties, and portions of Bristol and Plymouth counties. The candidates are Democratic incumbent Bill Keating. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Indy.
Republican Helen Brady. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Indy.
And independent candidate Mike Manley. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. All right. So a reminder of our format, you have up to 2 minutes to answer questions. We'll alternate who answers first. And listeners, if you have a question for the candidates, we ask that you pose the same question to all three candidates. You can do that by giving us a call, 866-999-4626, or you can send your question to thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're going to start in alphabetical order. So Helen Brady, we're going to start with you. Why do you want this job, and what skills would you bring to the table?
Well, you know, I'm a working mom. I speak my mind. I'm very concerned about where the future is going for my children. And that's really one of the main reasons I jumped into this. I feel that there aren't enough working people from the private sector that are in Washington right now. There's a lot of career politicians, and everybody's chosen their side. They're not focused on their district. And that I'm not just talking about Congressman Keating. I'm talking about across the country. On both Republican and Democratic parties, that we need to come together as a people. We're just letting our freedom slip away. And this really is very concerning as a mother, because you look to the future of your kids. And as a daughter of a veteran from World War II, it's just important for us to get back to sensibility, common sense, so that our kids can enjoy all that we have had in our lifetimes, especially baby boomers. I'm at the end of the baby boomer line, but what a wonderful life I've had so far as to have most Americans. We're just going down the wrong path, and we need regular people to go up there who do not want to be career politicians. We just want to do the work and go home, and we want to focus on the district, not what our party leaders are telling us to do. And that's what I bring to the table.
Thank you. Bill Keating, why do you want to keep the job?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mindy, for having this debate. I'd like to thank my opponents for participating as well. Every 2 years, I look to this job and ask myself, which we should, because they're two-year terms, what can I do? What drives me? What can I do to contribute public service? And clearly, where a recent poll with 2% of the people saying that this isn't the most important election in the history. So this is the most important for 98% of the people polled, for good reason. Our health care coverage is at stake. The COVID-19 crisis has clearly demonstrated the weaknesses in our health care system. As we look towards November 10th, the Supreme Court, with a new candidate, new justice likely to emerge there, maybe tipping the balance, is threatening the Affordable Care Act, which provides coverage for a pre-existing condition, coverage for children under 26, opioid treatment coverage, as well as not discriminating against women. All those things are at stake. Those health care rights are at stake. The Cape has benefited greatly from this. Massachusetts has leveraged out so that the number of uninsureds is about 2%, and the community health centers in our Cape have advantaged themselves with these monies. Health care is at stake in this ballot, and the experience I've had, the knowledge I've had, the skill working in the legislature has been such that I can contribute at this critical time for our government, and that's what drives me. That's what keeps me up at night worrying about these issues, and I'll have the opportunity to do that and deal with issues, unique issues to the Cape, the replacement of the bridges, offshore wind, protecting our industries, the cranberry industry, our fishing industry, making sure access is there to the islands, to the steamship funding. All those things I've been working on continually. They're all continuing on to the next term. It's a critical time for all of those issues.
All right. Thank you. Mike Manley, same question to you. Why do you want the job, and what skill set do you bring?
Thank you. I speak plainly and have common sense. I was born to be real, not perfect. Four things I take very seriously. One is God. Every morning I wake up, I thank God that I'm living in the United States. I'm Catholic. I say the rosary every day for all the friends I have that are sick, all the friends that I have that passed away. I'm also pro-life. There's not one Democrat in Congress that is pro-life. I'm also for country. I love the flag. I love this country. I'm going to give you everybody an assignment. As soon as this is over, this program, YouTube, Red Skelton, Pledge of Allegiance. That's where I come from. That's very emotional. Family. I live in Brewster with my wife, Carol. We have two children, Adam and Adrian, and I have five grandchildren. Being a grandparent of 12, children of 12 to 3, I can tell you grandparenting is an extreme sport. And friends, your most valuable antiques are your friends. I have an attitude of gratitude for the United States. And what's happening now is hate is not a good look for America. As I coach my teams, you're only as strong as your weakest player. Congress people are only as strong in their district when their constituents' needy is taken care of. You have to ask these questions all the time. What is the end game? Remember, the parties have one motto. It's not we the people, it's we the party, and that is why I'm running.
All right. Thank you. Bill Keating, your turn to go first. The coronavirus pandemic is creating many hardships for families and businesses across the district. Loss of jobs, school inequity, food insecurity, just to name a few. What's something that can be done on the federal level to help?
Well, the House, Mindy, has led the charge in the vacuum that's there with the administration. If you look at everything that's been done to address the crisis, it's done through the House. And it's decentralized. We are all working on this. It's broken down by committees. We're participating twice a week with our caucus all through this pandemic. And what we've done is this. We've led the charge to make sure that a stimulus bill is there for people that are struggling, families that are struggling. We've led the charge to make sure there's testing, support for our hospitals. I'm in contact on a regular basis with our hospitals, making sure our frontline nurses have protective equipment. I've been talking to these nurses. It's heartbreaking to have these nurses tell me they go home, they're in the garage, they're stripping down, cleaning because they're afraid they're going to bring the virus home to their family. This is what we're living with. We're seeing historic businesses in Cape Cod, our hospitality industry, just inordinately hit by this. Businesses that may never come back, and the Paycheck Protection Program is in place and has helped. I led the charge for more flexibility because we have a seasonal industry here that's important. And the HEROES bill has $120 billion targeted directly for restaurants and for hospitality businesses. So we're dealing with that, but you can't separate the two. We've never lost our focus on the fact that we have to test, contact, trace, and present money for care for the pandemic itself. If we're not treating the pandemic, we'll never get the economy where it has to be.
All right. Thank you. Mike Manley, same question.
All I hear all the time from politicians in Washington are words, words, words. They don't tell us anything. They're arguing over now $1.9 trillion, and one group is $2.2 trillion. They give lip service to us all the time. Let's get some single item things out there. One, to save the businesses, the small businesses and the restaurants. And two, let's give the hospital something. Three, let's give the states, break it up. Don't put everything into one bill. I'm tired, and I think a lot of people are tired of just hearing politicians give us words, words, words. Let's give us some action, action, action.
Thank you. Helen Brady, same question.
From my point of view, I've known about the virus since January. The Boston Symphony Orchestra was supposed to go on tour to China. I was well aware of it. I didn't see anywhere where Bill Keating did any tweets about it until in March. That's just a symptom of what's going on in Washington. They were not focused on it. President Trump was. I'm not here to advocate one way or the other. But that happened in January. by February, the week of February 10th, I came down with the virus and I had it and I lived with it and I'm running Congress. But what I see with this virus is just manipulating people, scaring people beyond belief that there has to be some hearings about this immediately after this election. There has to be hearings as to what we can do better. People are suffering. You have kids on track teams running with masks on their face. You have drug addictions way up again. I mean, imagine all the money and the efforts that we've put into making these small businesses put up all sorts of barriers and rules and twisting things around like pretzels just to open their businesses. And yet we have the big box companies opening up. Hopefully, maybe they'll contribute some of the revenues they've made to some of the small businesses within their communities. Because there was no leadership here from Congressman King. We've not heard from him on this at all. So we have to get people in there that are willing to ask the hard questions, hold the media accountable. Everything's scare, 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 worst case scenario. Again, I lived through it. I have the antibodies. My family tested negative. I did not wear a mask in February. I did not wear a mask in January. And the people in my group of social circle, nobody else got it except for me. So I'm just saying that to give hope to people so that they maybe be less fearful. And those people that are frightened about it, I'm sorry for you. And I hope that we can do some public debate on this so that people can understand really what's at stake. Helen,
that is 2 minutes. Congressman, do you want a minute rebuttal for that?
Oh, I do. Thank you, Mindy. Clearly, the person that hid this from the public has been Donald Trump, my opponent's support. Clearly, he is on tape saying he misled, basically, the American public to downplay this and to hold vital information to the public. On a personal level, working in the House and personally, I interceded with CARES Act money. We were weeks away. This is a good example. We were weeks away from having the Steamship Authority basically stop their runs to the island. And I was able, through the CARES Act and work I had done before with Tom Cahir, our regional transit administrator, to leverage almost $13 million to keep the steamships running. I led the charge for flexibility on the Paycheck Protection Program for our restaurants so the seasonal businesses could take place. And I worked with our local nurses, the frontline people that are there. Unsolicited, they've endorsed me in this campaign. And I've worked with our hospitals. I've done enormous things.
We've got to move on.
So thank you.
All right, Mike Manley, you answer first this time. One area in particular that we're seeing a growing need is food insecurity. How do we address this growing problem?
Well, I have a couple of friends that are working in the food banks, and I keep telling them how many people are coming in. Luckily, that Cape Cod is doing pretty good. But other places like Fall River and New Bedford, I don't think so. I've been up there many, many times, and most of the people are coming out of the dollar stores. So money is very, very tight. How do you get the food? You try to get the local farmers to help out. They've been giving out fresh food in some of the food banks. We have to take care of our farmers. Do you know that there are 47,000 black farmers in the United States, and the family farms are being taken over by large corporations? We need the family farms. We need everybody to pitch in and help. I know it's tight. Money is tight. But giving to certain charities that can help would be better, very beneficial.
All right, thank you. Helen Brady, same question.
Again, I just to say to Bill Keating that your leadership actually told people to go party in Chinatown, as I recall. But moving on, in this country, again, we have career politicians. There is no reason in the year 2020 that people should be living in tents in the United States. Absolutely not. They should not have lack of food or water or anything. That's what happens when things run amok. That's what happens when you don't have term limits. When you keep people in, they become beholden. They're PACs write checks to their campaigns. I'm a mother. I would hate to see any child be hungry. There is no reason for that in this country. We need to hold people accountable. And those are the people in Washington, and those are the people that we keep voting for over and over again. And in 2020, there's absolutely no reason why you should be asking us this question. And that's how I feel about that. And I also thank you to all the churches that step up and feed people and all the community activists that get out there. That's what we're all about. We're a good country. We're good people. This country's great, and we have to keep it that way. We have to put in moms and dads and grandfathers from different backgrounds who've worked their whole lives and are saying, why are people still hungry? Why are kids hungry going to bed? Why aren't the city schools doing better? What's going on? So I'm the person who's going to be asking those questions. I'm a tenacious person. I want answers, and that's who I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Keating, same question.
Thank you. It's not term limits that are causing these problems during the COVID-19 crisis. It's Donald Trump. And it's specifically to the issue of food security. One of the hang-ups we have right now as we're discussing this bill is we want to make sure the SNAP program, the nutrition program, the school lunch program that's there for our children, so that there is food for them. The Republicans of the Senate refuse to deal with that. The president refuses to deal with it. In fact, in my years since this administration came, those nutrition programs have been cut by that administration. So the choice in this campaign is also one of who are you going to work with that's going to advance these issues. It's nice to say people on their own are helping with food and churches. God bless them. But that's not going to be enough to solve our crisis. The government has to help in this regard. And this is what's at stake right now as we're having this broadcast. They're negotiating these issues right now in Washington. And to say that they don't lie on the doorstep of Donald Trump when we've had a bill in the Senate for 4 months languishing that'll deal with these issues.
Thank you. We are talking with the candidates who are running for Congress in the 9th Congressional District, Bill Keating, Helen Brady, and Mike Manley, and we'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. Today, it is the candidates running for U.S. Congress representing the 9th Congressional District, Bill Keating, Helen Brady, and Mike Manley. 866-999-4626. If you have a question you'd like to pose to the candidates, we ask that you pose the same question to all three candidates. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Helen Brady, your turn to go first. Climate change is an issue on the minds of many voters in the district, particularly younger voters. Do you have climate mitigation goals? If so, what are they? And if not, why not?
Well, climate change is one of those areas where people are either believing or they're not believing. And I'm open for equal time with public debate so that we can all come together on this and deal with what's going on, especially down the Cape. I have a home on the water at Whitehorse Beach. And every winter we cross our fingers that, you know, the house is there, that the nor'easter that we're all been afraid of doesn't come and take our house away. But we have to deal with economic growth, especially on the Cape. There's a lot of development. And how much can that piece of land withstand, you know, or sustain, rather? So if we overpopulate places like Cape Cod and we encroach into forests, and we're just asking for trouble in terms of natural disasters. But I'd love to hear all sorts of solutions, and I know offshore wind is it's here to stay, and it's going to happen. We have a nuclear power plant up the street from me. It's less than a mile. It's been there since I was a little kid, and I'd like to make sure that that's decommissioned properly. It seems right now that I haven't seen Congressman Keating at any or heard of really what he's going to do to make sure that that is decommissioned safely and the people in the community can feel like everything that is going on with those rods, we don't know where they're going to go. So they're taking them out, putting them in a box. That's concerning to me. That's been where I've played on the beach. My kids play on the beach. And again, it's less than a mile away. And it just seems like who cares? It's like decommissioning a mobile gas station. So we really have to pay attention to every single thing that matters in our environment and keep it as clean as possible and work together and not make it divisive. We all want clean water. We want all clean air. We want to clean up Superfunds. There are plenty of those we should be focused on just to make everything and everybody healthy and safe.
All right. Thank you. Bill Keating, same question.
Well, I'm the subcommittee chair globally dealing with environmental issues, and clearly climate change is a global issue, and the United States cannot go it alone the way it is under this administration. We can't be pulling out of the Paris Agreement. We can't be pushing towards taking regulations. This administration wants to do offshore drilling off the coast, off our coast right now, and they're beginning to start that project in exploration. And we passed legislation in the House prohibiting that. We've got to go in a different direction. Cape Cod knows full well the difference. I mean, the Cape Cod Commission dealt with studies with sea level rises. We understand the water quality issues, the flooding, the storms that are there, the need for dredging, all things I've been working on and continue working on. But let me give you one quick story, if I can fit it in. And that's the generational issue that's here as well. And it's a bipartisan issue. You know, when I became chair of this committee, I worked hard to get Greta Thunberg over here to the United States, over here testifying in front of Congress. It took months, but she came by boat, but she came to our committee, and I made sure that in that witness process, there was a young man named Benji Baker. He's a Republican. He's a conservative, but he believes in dealing with climate change. And I made sure Benji Baker was on that committee as well. We have to understand this is an existential issue for us now. It's an economic issue that I don't think people fully grasp, but it's also one where this next generation is going to be paying a harsh price for this. And Brian, it's so important that we listen to those young voices and give them a forum. And that's just one example of how I try and include them in the highest level of discussion in Washington on an issue that affects us all. It's one of the three main existential issues we face on this planet.
Thank you. That's 2 minutes. Mike Manley, same question.
I would like to say that the ocean is a relentless neighbor. I worked up at the Highland Light for 9 years giving tours. The first lighthouse was built in 1797, and that cliff has eroded 3 feet a year since then. They even moved the lighthouse. There was 3,000 shipwrecks from bad storms there. I researched different things about climate change. You could put 10 scientists into a room and get 10 different answers. You need to get the right answers. That's why I'm saying that it should be under the guidelines of NASA. We all trust NASA. They got us to the moon. They're the ones that invented solar panels and the cell phones that we all have in our pockets. I listen to the young. I have 4 girls now studying. One's a master's degree on the environment. I'm listening to them. But I think NASA has to take the lead. I think we all can believe in what they say. I also, for the young people, get the Treasury Direct, the ones that make savings bonds. Have what's called a green bond. They can invest their future in college, 529, into these bonds, and that money can be going for research. You got to think out of the box out of here. You know, when they say it's going to cost $100 trillion, I don't know how much it's going to cost. That's why you have to have all of us involved in this research.
Thank you. Bill Keating, your turn to go first. What is your stance on the machine gun range proposal for Joint Base Cape Cod? We've had concerns raised about the environmental impacts, the transparency of the process, and people wanting more public engagement before an environmental review goes forward. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Mindy, I live probably 2 to 3 miles as the crow flies from Joint Base Cape Cod. You know, I know when I got my house here, I knew about the plume. I knew about the cleanup firsthand because it affected the area that I live in, at least the expansive area that I live in. So this is something we have to be very careful about. We've been in touch in what's largely a state kind of discussion, but we've been in touch dealing with the issue. I know they reached out and briefed the Falmouth selectmen, and they, you know, gave more information there. I think we need more information going forward, not just factual information, but also there's a great concern. I live in this region, and it's a great concern about any impacts that are going to be here environmentally. So I'm not just doing this as a congressman. I live this issue along with so many other people. So I'm hoping for greater transparency, more understanding about what exactly is going on, and more public input about how that's going to be conducted.
Mike Manley, same question.
I think they should go very, very slow, get as much information as possible, get all the factors together, and then make a decision. But my thing for Joint Base Cape Cod is I think this should be turned into a emergency rescue division. Most of these places that are going to be closed down if Democrats get in, the military bases, should be ready for different disasters, such as hurricanes. We haven't had one since 1991, Hurricane Bob, but we should be ready. We should have gas there so we can have our cars filled up. If we run out of gas and we have to evacuate, in California, they can have for wildfires, in the Midwest for tornadoes, for the South, hurricanes also. I think we should be looking at Joint Cape Cod for help with the rescues and emergencies that can affect us. You got to think ahead. We have to be proactive, not reactive.
Thank you. Helen Brady, what are your thoughts on the machine gun range proposal?
I actually agree with the two gentlemen. Everything that you do that's going to impact the environment around, the communities around, there has to be public forums for this, and people need to somehow be told about these public forums. I think a lot of time we don't know that there's a hearing for this or that, because our lives before COVID were so busy. We're just sort of focusing on, for me, getting my kids, getting to work, taking care of life. So I think the more these forums are advertised through communities, the better outcome you're going to have either way. So it's all about having people step up, get involved in their communities. Politics is local. That's 100% true, and this is a really good case of that. And I go back to the nuclear power plant decommissioning right in my neighborhood, where not enough people are involved in understanding what's happening there. There's 1,600 acres in Plymouth that we don't know what's going to happen to that 1,600 acres because it comes with, you know, the whole tech price tag. So there's a lot of information out there. People need to be able to get online. Community leaders have to get out and say, this is going on. Please be involved in this so that there's not a big fight over it. There's somehow we can all make amends and with each other and work together no matter what party we're from. So this is a really good example of that, and hopefully everything moves forward in the way it's meant to be, with the most input from the community.
Thank you. Mike Manley, we start with you. This is a question from Marianne, who writes, Cape neighborhoods are rapidly becoming vacation communities. Moderately priced homes are upgraded by the wealthy and left empty all winter or turned into Airbnbs. No wonder we have no place for young workers or support workers. What is your plan for affordable housing?
Well, we're doing it in Brewster here. They closed the Epic nursing home, and now they're turning it into affordable housing. Well, most of the time, these vacation homes, also, I know when you look in the classifieds, they're only renting for 10 months. You got to keep the Airbnbs from renting by one day. I think they're having a big problem like that in Barnstable. But we have to look at each individual town, and I think each individual town is working on this problem. I think in Eastham, they're going to be doing some affordable housing. I know Provincetown might be the leader in this one. As a congressperson, I'm going to have to get the funding for that. It's not very easy to get it, but I probably, as being an independent, I can get it. So that's, thank you.
Thank you. Helen Brady, same question.
Well, the affordable housing that goes into each community, again, it happens with the input from people that live in the towns. And if people don't get involved in what's going on in their town, then they get the government they deserve. People deserve to live in homes that are affordable, of course. But we also have to remember that we need to provide jobs within those communities to support people that come in. And that way it reduces the number that we have to import from other countries. In this country, there's plenty of people looking for work right now. And part of my background is tourism. So I understand that industry better than anybody on this phone call. I have to say I worked for over 32 years at the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And that one of the main jobs I did was to cultivate and develop the tourism in both the Berkshires, down on the Cape, we did Pops by the Sea and the fundraiser for the hospital in Nantucket. So I understand how to make jobs happen and create jobs. And I also know that there's a lot of people who want to come into this area again as soon as they feel safe. And we want to make that happen as soon as possible so that people can buy their own homes ultimately and create an economy again that's robust, which it was before all this. So of course we want to have affordable housing, but it has to be planned well. Communities have to be able to sustain it and provide jobs and opportunities.
Thank you. Bill Keating?
Well, this is an issue that we discussed when I did my Martha's Vineyard Town Hall just a few days ago that has come up. We have funding. Most of that funding has been led by the House. Funding has supported. We've seen people in Cape Cod and the leaders in Cape Cod, Hask and other groups, where they've done a great job working with very challenging circumstances here. I've been to, just in the town of Bourne where I live, during this term, I've been to two different, one groundbreaking and one finalization in the same area for affordable housing. They're doing a great job with what they can do. The funding will come forward, and I'm moving a America Forward bill that we have. We've got funding in place for that. That's going to be an area when we go through the recovery stage where we'll be able to do more coming out of this. It'll present an opportunity. But here's something that no one mentioned unique to the Cape and Islands, and that's this, that we have a natural limitation. It shows how the environment and our environmental problems affect everything, it seems, in our way of life here. But one of the limitations we have is the idea of building and water quality issues. The fact that we just don't have, we had the Conservation Law Foundation suit pending. We just don't have some of the limitations. We have more limitations than other parts of the country do. As we deal with the water quality issue, it'll open up the opportunity for more siting of housing. But I just wanted to add on to what has been said so that people realize every single issue, it seems, has a nexus to the climate and environmental problems that we have. And this administration's been going in the wrong direction, doing away with all the protections that are here that took decades to build, that affect our water quality, the air we breathe. And they have ramifications far beyond just our health and just beyond our economy.
2 minutes.
But on
Thank
issues
you.
Like how
We are talking with the candidates running for U.S. Congress in the 9th Congressional District, Bill Keating, Helen Brady, and Mike Manley. We'll have more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking with the candidates running for U.S. Congress representing the 9th Congressional District, Democratic incumbent Bill Keating, Republican Helen Brady, and independent candidate Mike Manley. Helen Brady, we start with you this time. Let's talk about the decommissioning of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station. We just heard in news last night the Nuclear Decommissioning Citizens Advisory Panel frustrated. They're trying to get the length of the warranty on spent fuel casks and talking about the frustration they have on that panel. What are your thoughts on what we need to do to ease this situation?
Well, Congress can have hearings about this, and not sure Bill Keating has done that yet. But as a neighbor to it, I'm less than a mile away from that. I can't believe that anybody in Washington allows the decommissioning of a nuclear power plant to just go without hearings on what's the best safest measures. Where do those rods go? Do they go and sit in a box next to the nuclear power plant? These are questions people should be asking. And for myself, I have to be focused on this as well. It's literally in my backyard. And it just seems that things like this, again, this is when communities need to focus on, this is a major issue. And I don't think a lot of people in Plymouth are even aware of the hearings. There's always a group of people that are more active than others. And it seems that those numbers are dwindling. But for the nuclear power plant, with no hearings in Congress regarding safety of decommissioning it, we knew this was going to happen. We knew we were decommissioning this. It was supposed to be shut down years ago. I mean, they promised my parents that it would make the water warmer. That's how they got the thing built. That's part of the marketing package that we were handed. And for the most part, it's been safe, but now it's sitting there with these rods with energy. And it's unfortunate that nobody's figured out a way to reuse that, the energy within those rods. So we need to have some hearings on this before we can do anything. I think that's the safest bet. We really need to start these congressional hearings on the safety of decommissioning this. This is not a mobile gas station, like I said. This is a nuclear power plant, and there are neighbors like me there, and I will for sure start those hearings when I'm elected to Congress.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
Well, thank you. We've had hearings on many issues related to this. I've actually, in a bipartisan way, when I was in the minority, I joined with Republicans, and I took the lead to try and deal with alternate siting in this country. We passed legislation in the House in a huge bipartisan manner that has languished in the Senate. But importantly, I've been in the meetings, and my staff has been at the meetings in Plymouth. We're in touch with the Plymouth officials. We're in touch with the people that are trying to do this cleanup, and I have great concerns with Holtec because they're relatively new. They're very ambitious. I'm worried that they're biting off more than they can chew in other siting issues. And I'm worried about their financing, because if their financing creates a problem, we won't have security. Those are the areas where we're really looking at as pressure points right now to make sure they're there. When there were hearings in Maryland, we traveled down to Maryland for those hearings. We're all over the issue. Preemption creates limitations in terms of legal ability to do things, something that's unfortunate in this. But we're not going to be alone in this. And I've banded together a coalition of congresspeople from all over the country that are having this issue or will have this issue, so that we can pool our strength and continue to put pressure on this issue.
Thank you. Mike Manley, same question.
Well, I think we should have been more proactive instead of reactive. I know we had trouble with Three Mile Island, and they shut that down, and they had rods there and everything. What did they do? Did they take a comprehensive review about every step they took, or did they just say, all right, this one's cleaned up, we'll wait for the next one? I feel bad for the people that live in that area. I feel that they've been left out. This has been going on for about 3 to 5 years. They should have had all these questions written down, gotten the answer before they even gave the contract to someone. Be proactive, not reactive. Now we have a lot of problems financially, and everything could be a problem. We've had Seabrook is also going to be shut down, or it is shut down, and all of them are going to be shut down. So we should have those people involved, too, so they don't go through the same thing.
Thank you. We have a question from Peter of Yarmouth, and I want to be able to give you each 2 minutes for closing. So let's take a minute for this question. Bill Keating, we start with you. What is your thinking about the idea of limiting each Supreme Court nominee to 18 years and then out?
Well, it's really an outrage with what we're seeing transpire right now, Mindy. We've had the chairman of the committee on record, on tape, saying that we never should be doing what we're doing now. After stalling Merrick Garland for nearly a year because the elections were in the offset, we now are going through this. This nomination process started where 10 states were already voting, already in the process of voting. So there's public outrage of this, and there is an opportunity when things calm down. It's a foregone conclusion that this justice is going to be appointed. It's a great concern that that's going to tip the scale on our health care coverage, among other issues, including women's right to privacy, women's right to choose. The issue of how we're going to settle an election if it's contested with the Electoral College. All those things could be occurring. So when the dust settles on this, it would be a good idea to have experts, non-affiliated with parties necessarily.
Let's get on to Mike Manley. Mike Manley, what are your thoughts about limiting each Supreme Court nominee 18 years and then out?
The Democratic Party is addicted to outrage. Let's not be hypocritical. If it's the reverse roles and it was the Democrats that are in party in power and they had the Senate, they would be doing the same thing. So all that gibberish that I just heard is really a crock. So if the people coming from Mexico and everything were going to vote Republicans, you know that wall would be built by the Democrats. So it's all hypocritical, all gobbledygook.
Hey, Helen Brady?
I totally agree. It's the same fear tactics. Nobody said that they want to take away existing conditions or anybody's health care. As a congresswoman, I would never let that happen. I'm a mother. I have kids. I would never let that happen, and nor would Amy Coney Barrett. And the congressman knows that. It's just another scare tactic. And you know what? I totally support her. And the reasons I do is because she is a woman who's put her kids at the top of her list. It's her to-do list. And the reasons why she accepted this is because she cared for her kids. She cares about the future of her kids and the institutions and the freedoms and the rule of law. And that's why she stated, just paraphrasing her quote, if we want that for our children and our children's children, then we need to participate in that work. And that's what I'm doing, and that's why I'm running.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to closing comments. And Mike Manley, it is your turn to go first. You have 2 minutes.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for having me today. First of all, the American people have to get their politics out of their brain, because it stifles your common sense. It brings out your hate. It stifles your reasoning. You have to get your politics into your heart. And once it's in your heart, then you can look clearly at the hunger we have in the United States, the small businesses that are going under, the restaurants that are getting under. And instead of fighting, we should be working together. I don't finger point about who was at fault for this COVID-19. It's the first time it ever happened. But by finger pointing, the American people are being let down. You heard Congressman Keating mention Donald Trump a couple of times. You think things are going to change if he's elected again? I don't think so. You need somebody that's an independent thinker that can help the American people. No party affiliation, no lobbyists, just a regular person running for Congress. And that would be me. So I know about 17% of you already voted. I'll still be out there. I'm talking to you, handing you my cards, putting them on the cars, and giving you my 2020 handshake. You know what my 2020 handshake is. I made you laugh, and I know it gave me a lot of pleasure to talk to you. So everybody take care.
Thank you. Helen Brady.
Hi, I just want to thank you again. I'm grateful for this chance to be on your show. I was nearly kicked off the ballot by Congressman Keating and his friends, and that's a one-party Democratic system in Massachusetts that would have silenced the voters in District 9 and their choice. But, over the past few months, I've learned a lot about Congressman Keating. For one, he does not care about the rights of voters, as witnessed by what I just said, his attempts through his political ties to remove my name from the ballot. Talk about collusion and voter suppression. He does not support the police in this district, as shown by his careless and reckless co-sponsoring of HR 7120. He knows about that, also known as the Defunding the Police Bill. It's radical legislation that will put law enforcement officers at risk, both physically and mentally. He should have consulted with his police departments across the district. They're demoralized. They're upset about this, and he has some explaining to do on that. He He has shown zero leadership throughout this pandemic. We don't hear from him in this district at all. Every move he has made is dictated by leaders in his party whose only objective is to take down a president, even if it takes down the country. I'm a compassionate conservative. I share the values of this district. I grew up in this area. And like you, I want the streets safe. I want the jobs back. I want our kids in school and not living under a cloud of fear. I want the economy back on track as soon as possible. And like you, I want the old bridges rebuilt and the aging power plants and Superfund sites cleaned up. I want a clean environment here. I'll work with whoever becomes president, and my party will be District 9. I ask for your support. We need people in Congress, regular working class people who are beholden to no one. People like me. I'm Helen Brady. Please vote for me. My slogan's Give 'em Helen, and I will be focused on this district. I will not follow a party line. I will not read from a script that anybody gives me. And I will not live under oppression, and I will fight for that for all the voters out there. So thank you for listening and having me on your show.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
Well, thank you, Mindy, and thank all your listeners for listening and giving the chance to correct things. Just, I hate to waste the time in this, but I wasn't a party to that suit that Mrs. Brady referenced. In fact, the Ballot Law Commission that ruled on that unanimously, that she would be in the ballot, was all appointees of Governor Charlie Baker, Republican. The police bill that we voted on does not defund police. I do talk to police. My dad was a police officer. My brother's retired police officer. My niece and nephew are currently police officers in Cape Cod. My daughter works with police officers. I had my own forces, chief law enforcement officers, a DA. I listen, but I also listen to the need to reform what we have to do in our country. And the vast majority of Americans believe that. We didn't touch on this crisis, but this is something we have to deal with. This is something that will bring us together, and we have to deal with some of the systemic racism issues that we've had, not just in the criminal justice system, but we're seeing in the healthcare system right now who's suffering the most from this COVID-19 pandemic, which leads me to quickly say that I've shown, I think, every ounce of ability, skill, knowledge that I have in me to bring to bear in what's the worst non-military crisis, the COVID-19 crisis that our country has had in over 100 years. In the meantime, we're seeing cracks in the healthcare system, and indeed, the Affordable Care Act that is there to guarantee pre-existing condition coverage and all the other things I mentioned is at stake within the next weeks of being taken away with no alternative in place. So we can talk about Donald Trump as if he's not there, as if he's not part of the problem. The problem's extended many of these things before him. All he's done is pour gasoline on a smoldering fire and led us to crisis. And about ballot.
That is 2 minutes. I'm sorry, we are out of time. Bill Keating, Helen Brady, Mike Manley, thank you all for being here and letting listeners know where you stand on the issues. If you missed any of today's debate, you can catch it at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.